Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shiurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak at Shalom. We're now in Masachet Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph, at the Mishnah near the top of the Amud. This is Mishnah Vav in the Perek. We've already dealt with this in the previous podcast. And again, we analyzed this fairly comprehensively in the previous discussion, but the bottom line is that a person may make a deal to have himself or the adult members of his household work in a field and not eat, but he may not do so with minor members of his household, or the children or slaves, or with his animal, because they do not have dat to be mochel. If you have them come and work in your neta revai field and you didn't tell them in advance, then you have to redeem it. We said it because it's a mekachtaot. Let's say you had stuff that was already nigmar la maaser, then im lohudian maaser uhare lulo yichlu, they're not allowed to eat from it. Im lohudian maaser machilan. If you didn't tell them, again, it's an issue of mekachtaot. We dealt at length with the issue of the barrels of wine and how it could be possible for them not to know that they were already nikba l'maaser. All right, Mishnah Chet, the first line of it, is the part that interests us because we haven't dealt with it yet. Shomrei perot ochlin mi'ilchot medina aval lo mina Torah. So people who watch fruit, we're going to see what that means, do eat of the fruit while they're watching it, but they're only able to eat mi'ilchot medina. In other words, the Torah doesn't provide for it, but local custom does. Now, Shomrei Perot, that's the one thing we are going to have yet to discuss. Rav Loshanu Ela Shomrei Ganotu Pardesin. Rav says that this law only applies to people who are watching gardens and orchards, meaning stuff that's in the ground. Ela Shomrei Gitot Varimot, if they're watching a wine press or piles of wheat, meaning stuff that's already been uprooted, Ochli Minat Torah, then they're allowed to eat Minat Torah. Why? Kasav Meshamra Kosamai Sadami. He holds that if somebody's watching something that's considered a maaseh, Shmuel says, no, that the law in our Mishnah only applies to people who are watching already uprooted stuff. He said, if people are watching gardens and orchards, meaning stuff that's still on the ground, they don't get to eat at all. Because he holds, Mishamar Lavko Samai Sadami. He says, watching itself is not a maaseh. So, Meiti Ravacha Baravuna Hamashamer Taparam Tamei Begadim. Remember that all of the anybody who is involved in any way with doing anything about the paraduma, walking it, killing it, etc., has tumat erev. And we have a statement that says that the person who watches the cow is matam gadim. But if you say that watching is not a maaseh, why is he matame? Because he's tame because maybe he will end up moving some of the animal, move it to the right side, or whatever it may be. Okay, so Meiti Rav Kahana, Meshamer Arba Mechamesh Mikshaot. If somebody is watching several beds of squash, Harizelo Yimalei Krisome Echad Me'en, he can't pick out on one of them. Ela Mikol Echad V'Echad Ochel Efi Cheshbon. He eats from each one of the beds a proper amount. But the point is, he gets to eat even though he's just watching. V'Amart Meshamer Lav Kosamai Sedami Amai Ochel. Why is he allowed to eat? Shemarashi Balkarin Shano. There we're talking about stuff that's already been uprooted. Akurin, which supports Shmuel, of course. Akurin, valon digra malachtan lemaser. If they're already uprooted, then they're chayav maser, and then you don't get to eat at all, as we've established several times. The answer, shalom tal pikash shalom. Let's take us back to the beginning of the sugya about the shiur of kviat maser for a squash, which is when the flower has been taken. So we're talking about a case where the flower was not yet taken off of the squash, and as a result of that, it was not nikba l'maaser. All right, Amar Bashiko, Atei Shmuel Mistabra. He says that if you look at the first Mishnah in the Sugya, which is Mishnah Bet in our Perek, Shmuel's position really is supported. Because if you recall, in that opening Mishnah, we said, Ve'elu ochlin min ha-Torah, which itself is an interesting phrasing. Ve'elu ochlin min ha-Torah. Etc. List of what it is. So why does it say ve'elu ochlin min ha-Torah? It sounds like there's other people who do eat But not min haTorah. They eat what we're calling hilchot medina. In other words, why list elu ochlim min haTorah? Why say that phrase unless it means that there are other people who are not listed on this Mishnah who do eat, but they don't eat min haTorah. Now, Ema Seifa, look at the end of that Mishnah. Ve'elu she'enan ochlin. And it doesn't say elu she'enan ochlin min haTorah. It just says elu she'enan ochlin. The following do not get to eat at all. What does that mean? If you think it means that they do eat milchot medina, that's already included in the resha. They don't get to eat at all. What's that? That's somebody who's working in stuff that's mechubar lekarka. I said, let's listen to the Mishnah when it's not harvest time, like pruning or weeding. So certainly if somebody is just watching stuff that's in the ground before harvest time, they can't eat. So that supports Shmuel. Okay, this very, very famous Mishnah, which in this context is not discussed, but at the beginning of the next parak will be discussed at greater length. Arba Shomrim Hein. Famously, there's four kinds of Shomrim, and if take a look at the next podcast, look at the help sheet, and you can see the psukim for it. Shomer Chinam Vashoel Nosei Sachar Vahasocher. Now, the reality is that only three of them are in the Torah. Shomer Chinam, Shoel, and Nosei Sachar are all in the Torah. Socher is not listed in the Torah. And we'll see a machloket that we already are familiar with about how to categorize a Socher, a renter. Shomer Chinam Nishba Lakol. In general terms, a Shomer Chinam could take an oath for any kind of loss and be exempt. That's not exactly true if he was neglectful. Hashom Mishalim Et Hakol. A borrower has to pay in every case, can never take an oath and be exempt. That, again, is not 100% true, because if it died Machmat Malacha, or if it was a real ones, he could also take an oath and be exempt. Nosei Sachar Vasocher, but the hired watcher and the renter are in the middle. Nishbayim Alashvura Valashvuya, they could take an oath about an animal that was damaged or was taken captive or was meta or died. Shalmin Daveiru Avakaneva, they do have to pay if it was lost or stolen. Alright, so those guys are in the middle. And that means that even though three of them are in the Torah, the fourth has been categorized as being similar to Nosei Sachar. Aman Tana Arba Shomrim, who is the authority who records the idea of Arba Shomrim, which sounds to us like a strange question, because we all know Arba Shomrim. Rabbi Meir, he says it's Rabbi Meir. I'm the Rav Lav Nachman. So Rava turned to his Rebbe and said, Meika Delaitle Arba Shomrim, is there anybody who doesn't have Arba Shomrim? So Rav Nachman said, this is what I meant. Mantana socher kenosei socher. Who is it who groups a socher as being like a nosei socher and not like a shomer chinam? Rav Meir he. But Rava turns around and says, Vahar Rav Meir ipcha shomer chinam. We don't know that he has the opposite position. Tanya socher ketzav neshalem. Rav Meir make a shomer chinam. Rav Yehuda make a shomer socher. Rav Meir says that a renter pays like a shomer chinam. He's less liable. Rav Yehuda is the one who said he's like a shomer socher. So the answer is that Rabba Baravuha Ipchaktani, the same Rabba Baravuha who identified our Mishnah as being Reb Meir's, also had an opposite read on that bright dot, which was that Reb Meir is the one who says that the Socher is like the Shomer Sachar, and Reb Yehuda is the one who says that a Socher is like a Shomer Chinam. So Yachi Arba Shlosha Ninu. So then why are you saying there's Arba Shomer and there's Shlosha Shomerim? Really? And by the way, that would work according to either one of them, because there's Shomer Chinam, there's Shoel, and there's Nosei Sachar, and then Socher plugs into one or the other. The reality is there's far more than this, because there's Shomer Mashkot, and there's Shomer Aveda, there's all sorts of other Shomerim that we have dealt with in previous Prakim. So the answer of Nachman Yitzchak, Arba'a Shomerim V'dinam Shloshah. There's four groups of Shomerim, four types of Shomerim, but there's three sets of laws. Either you fall under the law of Shomer Chinam, or of Shoel, or Shomer Sachar. And then everybody else gets plugged into that. The fourth kind is a socher, and every other subset will fit into one of those four, which will eventually be channeled into one of the three. Okay, a story. There was a shepherd who would shepherd his flock right on the riverbanks. One of them slipped and fell into the water. He came to Rabba, and Rabba said, you're exempt. Now he's a shomer socher. Rabba said, as the explanation, what should the guy have done? He watched like other people watched. He watched the normal fashion, and evidently it was considered usual to take the animals right near the river. If one falls in, that's the way it goes. Amar Abaye, so Abaye turned to his uncle and to his Rebbe. He said, Elamiata, Alamata be'ina da'ili inshi. What if the shepherd left the flock and went into town at a time that everybody else goes into town? Achanami de Pater, you'd say he's exempt even if something happened? Amar Lein, Rabbi said, yes, he is. A Ganapur to be done in a Ganulinchi. What if he took a nap when everybody else takes a nap and something happened? Achinamid Potter, so Amar Lein. In other words, Rabbi's got a straight ahead position, which is, you are expected as a Shomer Sachar to watch like other Shomer Sachar do. If something else happens, that's called an onus, and you're exempt. Etivei, so now we have a challenge against this. Eluhem onsin shomer sachar patur aleihen. The following are onsin for which a shomer sachar is exempt. The pasuk at the beginning of Eov that describes the beginning of the destruction of Eov's property, which is that an army came, some pirates came from Shva, and they took all of the animals, and they killed all of the watchmen. Right, that's the kind of onus that a shomer sachar wouldn't have to pay. But not if you got a sheep and you took a nap and you went into town and left the flock. So Amar lehatam chazane mata. Rabbi said to Abaye, that threshold is referring to the official watchers of the city, whose job it is, they get paid, and their job is to watch everything in the city. They really are not exempt unless there's an out-and-out attack. So Etevei, so Abai brought another challenge. An matai shomer sachar chayav lishmor. How much does a shomer sachar have to watch? Ad kidei hayiti vayom achalani charev v'karach balayla. Until what Yaakov describes as his own suffering through the heat of the day and the cold of the night and not sleeping. So you see a shomer sachar can't just take a nap because everybody's taking a nap. He says, yeah, that threshold, that breita, is referring to what the official city watchers have to do. The police. But Yaakov, who said that statement, was not a policeman for the city. He was watching Lavan's private flock. So the answer is, what was he saying to Lavan? I watched your animals more than I needed to, just like the official watchers of the city did. That's what he was saying. So Etevei, another challenge to Abai, to Rabbah. Ro'esh haya ro'evi ni'achid ro'v ala'ir. So shepherd left the flock and went into the city to get food. He went to the city to go to the bank, whatever reason. Vaze'e v'taraf. A wolf came and took one of the animals. Uvari v'daras. Or a lion came and ate one of the animals. Ein omdin ilu haya matzil. We don't say that had he been there, he could have saved him, therefore he's liable. Ela omdino to, we measure. Im yachol atzil chayav lav fatur. Had he been there, would have been able to save the animal, then he's liable, but if not, not. So in other words, if we find out that it was a ferocious lion who came and this guy couldn't have saved him, then he's not liable. So my love, Dalbidna Daili Inshi, aren't we talking about a case where the guy went into town when everybody else goes into town and he's still liable if he had been able to save the animal? Lo, Dalbidna Dalo Ailinshi. No, he went in at the wrong time, at a time that's inappropriate. He did not watch appropriately. So Yachir, my potter, then why would he ever be exempt, even if he couldn't have saved it? This is a case of beginning the damage with a neglect, even though it ends up ba'ones, and it's even though the lion that came might have been too big for him, his neglect in walking away, he's chayiv. The answer is Deshama Kol Aryeh Vial. The reason he went into the city wasn't because he wanted an early coffee break, but because he heard a lion and he got scared. So Yachi Om Dimoto, then what's to measure? What could he have done? After all, if a lion came, he should be putter without asking any questions. The answer is, he should have gone and met the lion and gotten some other friends, some other shepherds, and some sticks, and staved them off. So, but if that's the case, then why are you only picking on a shomer sachar and saying we measure him that way? The same is true about a shomer chinam. The Marhu Damar, Rabbi, you're the one who said, Abaye says, Shomer Chinam Shayalu Lekadem Roim Maklod Velo Kidem Chayav. Even if a Shomer Chinam could have gotten some of his friends together and gotten some sticks and warded off the lion and didn't do so, he's Chayav. That's called neglect. And how much? Shomer Chinam Bechinam. A Shomer Chinam is only obligated to find friends who will do it as a favor. Shomer Sachar Besachar. A Shomer Sachar has to be able to even hire them. Vyad Kama. And by parenthetically, how much should he expend? Ad kadei demand until the value of the flock. Let's say the flock is $1,000. And let's say for $1,000 you can only get one other guy who's not going to be able to help him really with the lion. So then he's putter. But if the flock is worth $1,000 and for $1,000 you can find 10 guys and together and pay them each $100 and they could really scare off the lion, he has to do that. But why is the shomer sachar chayv to pay out of his own pocket to protect the flock from onsin? The answer is dahara shakal demand balabayit. The answer is he doesn't pay it out of pocket. He fronts it out of pocket, but then he goes and collects it from the owner. So then what benefit is the shomer to the owner if the shomer is going to expend the value of the item in order to save it? So the answer is not. In other words, why don't we just say, let the animals be taken, and in the meantime, he'll have the same amount of money, he'll go and he'll buy new animals. The answer is nafkamina l'kushra d'chayuta. He's already got a connection to these animals. Inami l'tircha yeterta, or the extra tircha that'd be involved in finding new animals is what he's saving here. Okay, good. So we have a good explanation for why there still is some sort of a benefit if he expends that kind of money. Okay, so, but this is all Rabba's take, where Rabba says, as long as you watched properly, you're off the hook as a Shomer Sachar. And the only reason that we check with a Shomer Sachar, and truth is, even with a Shomer Chinam, whether or not he could have saved it, is we measure, could he have gotten people together, either as a Shomer Chinam for nothing, or as a Shomer Sachar for the value of the sheep or less, to ward it off? That's what we sort of measure. Okay, Rav Chista v'Rabba Bar Rav Huna lo svir lehu ad Rabba. They did not agree with Rabba. They say that the owner will say, the reason I paid you as a Shomer Sachar is so you would watch it better than just regular watching. So if you leave and go into town when everybody else does and take a nap when everybody else does and take him by the river carelessly and have him slip in the water, that's not a good shmirah and you do have to pay. Now, Bar'adah Svula, Havei Kama'a Berchayuta Gamla Dinerish. There was a particular Bar'ada who was a carrier of sorts, and he was taking animals across the bridge at Nerish, which is where Papa's town. Dachva Chada Lachaverta, Beshadita Maya. One of them pushed the other into the water, and the animal was lost. Atza Lachamed Rav Papa, so he came to Rav Papa. Achive, Rav Papa said, you're chayiv to pay for that animal. Ma'avid and Ma'avid said, what could I have done? His animal pushed another animal in. You should have taken him across one at a time. It was careless on your part to put two on the bridge. Do you know your nephew? What he meant by that is, you know of anybody else who could do take one at a time? So Amarlei, Rav Papa said back, people have already screamed about this and complained about this in the past. Nobody pays attention to them either. Your complaint's not a complaint. You should have been more careful. And we end with this story. Aibu afkid kitna berunya. Aivu entrusted some flax to Runya. Azel shavu shamte mine. Shavu, which is a great name for a thief because it also means to capture. Shavu came and conquered and stole the flax. Lasof ukaraganav. In the end, they found out who Shavu was. Ato the kamed Rav Nachman. So they came to Rav Nachman. Chive, Rav Nachman said to Runya, you're chayiv to pay for the flax. Lema pligar Rav, and then you go to Shavu and try to get money out of him, but you have to pay for the flax. Lema pligar Rav Huna Bar Avin. This sounds like it's at odds with Rav Huna Bar Avin's psak. The Shalach Rav Huna Bar Avin, he said, Nignavaba ones vacharka hukar ganav, im shamachinam hu ratza nishpa, ratza osei modin. If something was stolen from a Shomer Chinam, and we know who the ganav was, we found out who the ganav was, if the guy was a Shomer Chinam, he can either take an oath, and he's off the hook, and let the owner go after the ganav. If he wants, he could pay it up, and then go after the ganav himself, to try to get the item. Im Shomer Sachar, who osei modin v'no nishpa. If he's a Shomer Sachar, then he only has the option of paying up, and then going after the ganav. Which, by the way, means this Runya was a Shomer Chinam, and Rav Nachman did not give him the option. So evidently he's at odds with Rav Chia Bar Ava. Rav Huna Bar Avin, sorry. Amarava Hatam Gavri de Parmuska Havu Kaimi. Rava says a different case. Because in that particular case, there were policemen or officers right around Runya. The Ramakola Havu Atu Masnale. All he had to do was say, help, help, and they would have come and they would have stopped him. So therefore he has a greater liability. And there's a certain amount of neglect there, and he got lucky that they found out who the ganav was. He has to pay in any case, and now he has a ganav to go afterwards. All right, this next Mishnah, which is the next Mishnah in the Perek, delineates what is considered ones such that a shoel is pater. Ze'ev achad eno ones. If one wolf comes and attacks the flock, that's not an ones. Shnei ze'evim ones. But two of them constitutes an ones. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, B'shat Mishlachat Zeivim Av Zeiv Acharones. If it's at the time when there's a wave of wolves coming out, then even one is dangerous, and that's considered an onus. Shnei klavim ain't an onus. Two dogs are not an onus. Yiduah bavli, remember Shem Rabbeir, quote Rabbeir saying, Miruach achat ain't an onus, v'shtei ruchot onus. If the two dogs come from two different directions, it is an onus. In one direction, you could ward them off. Two different directions, you can't. Halistim are an onus. A listim, which we'll say later is a listim azuyan, an armed robber, is always onus. Hari Adovan Amirva Ardeles Van Achash, this is of course the list from the last mission and the first parak of Baba Kama, of the five that are always Muad, a lion, a bear, a tiger, a cheetah, and a snake. Hare Elu Onus, that's always an onus, you can't help. Ematai Bizman Shabal Meilein, by the way, that's only true if these animals came on their own. Avaholichan, Mokum Dude Chayev Listim, but if you took the flock right near the wild animals or right near an area where there's armed and dangerous people, ain't an onus, you can't claim onus. Meta kadarka is an onus. If the animal just dropped dead on its own, that's an onus. Sagfau meta, but if you didn't feed it right, or you in some way didn't treat it right and it died, ain't an onus. Altala roshe tsukin rafla, if the animal climbed up to a promontory and it fell off, is an onus. What could you have done? He Allah rosh tsukin rafla meta, but if you took it up to there and it died, then ain't an onus. It's not an onus. You shouldn't have taken it up to a dangerous spot. All right, so we have a very short piece on this. Vatanya Zeva Chad Onus. We have a braita that says that one wolf is an onus, and our Mishnah said only two is an onus. That's talking about a case where there's a wave of wolves. For Rabbi Yehuda, and it follows Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, who says that in the case of Mishlachat Zevim, even one is an onus. Halistim is an onus amai. Loki gavra, lani gavra. Why do we say that a listim, which we assume now is an unarmed, is an onus? Stand up to him. Rabbi listim azuyan, we're talking about an armed robber. Say, bayalu listim azuyan, varoim azuyan mahu. What if the shepherd is also armed? Miyamrin oki gavra, lani gavra. Do we say that the shepherd should have stood up to him? That's why the shepherd's armed, so he could stand up to an armed robber. And therefore, it's not an onus. Odil mahai masanafshi, vahala masanafshi. Or do we say that we understand that the armed robber will risk his life, that's what he does for his livelihood, and the shepherd doesn't have to risk his life for that. And somebody who's willing to risk his life is obviously a worse, more dangerous adversary. That's the direction we take, and we say it's still an onus, even if the shepherd was armed, as long as the robber was armed. Amarle Abaya L'Rava, so Abaya turned to Rava and said, Ashkache Roe, let's say you found the Ghana found a Roe, Amarle Gan Vasarya. And he said to him, he talked to the ganav, and he called him a name. V'duchta planya yativina. And he said, we are over there with the flock. Kach v'kach gavri ikabadan. We have this many people watching the flock. Kach v'kach galbi ikabadan. We have this many dogs watching the flock. Kach v'kach zukta psikolan. And we have these many slingshots. He's boasting to him about what kind of great protection he has. But Azav Shakal Mine, and the guy goes and anyways and steals from there. And the answer is that Yechayev, because you basically handed the flock over by giving him all of this information. Okay, it's like taking the flock right near an area of wild animals or armed robbers. All right, the last Mishnah takes us in a strange direction, because Matnesh Shomer Chinam Liot Patur Mishvua, a Shomer Chinam can make a deal, I'll be a Shomer Chinam as long as I don't ever have to take an oath. And if I tell you that something was stolen or whatever it is, you have to believe me. You could do that, as long as the one entrusting to you agrees. A Shoel Liot Patur Mishvua, Shoel can also make a deal in order that he isn't obligated to pay in all those cases that he would. And the guys in the middle could take an oath that they're exempt from either or both. Which sounds like you could make a condition against the Torah's definition of a relationship, and it works. So call my batel. That doesn't work with this statement that says anytime you make a condition against what the Torah says, the condition is nullified. By the way, if you make a condition, but you first state the commitment before the condition, the condition is lost. So if you say, I'll sell you this house on condition that you let me live in it, then the sale is good and the condition is lost, because you first said, I'll sell you the house. And as long as you could fulfill the Tanai, it's humanly possible to fulfill the Tanai, then it's Kayam. The implication is, of course, that if it's an impossible tonight to fulfill, then it does not affect the deal at all. Okay, let's see. First question is amai, meaning why can a shomer chinam, etc., make an agreement to commit to watching it without the same consequences and liabilities? He's basically making a condition against the Torah. So the answer is hamani Rabbi Yehuda. So the suggestion is that statement is Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, the next statement can't be Rabbi Yehuda. We know that Rabbi Yehuda says you can make a condition against the relationship defined by the Torah in financial matters because you can be mochel the mamon. The Tanya, famous Braita from the fifth parak of Ksubas, Haomerli Sharad Mkudesh Leamanat Shein Lachalai Sharksut Velnar, Rizm Kudesh, No Batel, the Vermeer. Mayor says, if you give a woman Kedush and says, Harad Mkudesh Le, on condition that you do not have any claim of Sharksut and Ona, the basic three marital obligations of a husband to his wife, then the marriage is good, and the Tanai is out. She still has the claim. If you don't remember, Dovash Maman Tanai Okayam, Rabbi Yehuda says that those things, which, at least according to the Rambam Shita, would apply to sharing suit, the condition is valid. So Rabbi Yehuda seems to be the author of the first part of the Mishnah. But Umi Matzit Mokban Lak Rabbi Yehuda, since when could our Mishnah be Rabbi Yehuda? Ema Sevakol, Manama Shkotuva Torah, Tanai Batel, Atan Rabbi Meir. The next line sounds like Rabbi Meir. So halokasha liolam Rabbi Yehuda, we could say the whole Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. V'seifin arishay noshal mamon. The last, that second line about matna mashal get to the Torah is talking about non-financial matters. But that won't work either because ema seifa. Look at the next line, of the Mishnah. Kol tanai sheish bo maaseh b'tchilato tanai ubatel. If you constructed the condition such that you made the commitment before the condition, the condition's out. Man shamat leidit lehasfar. Who is the author of that position? The answer is Rabbi Meir. Tanya Abba Chalafta Ish Kfar Chananya Amar Mishum Rabbi Meir, famous in the Sugya and Kiddush in the third parak. Tonight, Koron Masa, raise it tonight. Masa Koron Tonight, you know, tonight. If you make the condition first, it works. If you make the commitment first, it doesn't work. So our Mishnah has to be Rabbi Meir. Ella Kula Rabbi Meir here. The answer is our entire Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. So if it's Rabbi Meir, why are you allowed to be a Shomer Chinam without a Shvuah and a Shoal without a Chiyuv? Shani Yachad Mikar Lo Shibi Nafshe. The answer is here, you never made the commitment. In other words, before you took the thing into your possession, you never made the commitment to take a shvuah or to pay or whatever it may be. All right, so a mayor here would have an exception here. He would allow it. Tanu matnesh, rechidam liyot kishoel b'mai. We have a brayta that says the opposite. A shomer sachar can commit himself to be even stronger, to be like a shoel. Now, how does he do that? How do you commit yourself? The answer is bedvarim, just by saying it. Meshvuah kshikano miyadon. You have to make a real kinyan. A real Kenyan Sudar, in which you're saying, even though I'm only a Shomer Sachar, I'm committing to be like a Shoel, and anything that happens, I'll pay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Filu Tema Mishalo Kanami Odo. He says, no, you don't need to do that. The fact that you now get a reputation as a real trustworthy person, that Hanah that you get from getting that reputation, well, that's what your Meshavi Nafshi. That's the Hanah, the quid pro quo for your Shibud. Okay, and the last line in the Mishnah, V'chol Shev Shalu Kamom Sofo, Amrav Tav L'Amrav Zudiv Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema, that's authored by Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema, who says that a condition to be valid has to be humanly possible to fulfill, as you'll see. V'chachom Omri Mafapisha, Yev Shalu Kamom Sofo, V'nam Omri Lavet Chato, T'nal Kayam, Chachom disagree and say that Tanai is valid. T'tanya, Rezi Gitech, Amanach Talila Rakia, Amanach Tadila Tom, a guy gives his wife a get, and says, on condition that you go fly up to heaven, you go down to the deep. I'm not to laikanesh me'ama. You swallow a 100-yard long stick. I'm not to tavdiat tavrit emagadobar glayach. You walk over the Mediterranean on your feet. In other words, impossible things. And clearly, he's making fun of her. Nitkay matanai raise a getlin. Kay matanai eno get. Chacham's position is that if the tanai was fulfilled and she did this impossible thing, then the get's good. If not, not. Which means the get can never be good. And Mentemo America's that get. Rita Mentemo says the get's valid immediately. Klalam, Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema. What was his ruling? His general rule, Kol she'ef shalu kaimom b'sofo v'na'al lav t'chato. Anything that cannot be done, and you made the tanai, eno elo v'kafli guy. It's like you're being silly, and we ignore it. V'kasher, and the get's valid. Nachum Arav, halacha Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema, and that is the halacha. Nachum Ar Yitzchak, maniti nami deka. If you look at our Mishnah supports Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema. And Kol she'ef shalu kaimom b'sofo v'na'al t'chato, t'no kayam. Whenever you make a tanai that could be fulfilled, it's valid. What's the implication? So if you couldn't fulfill it, the tanai is ignored and nullified, just like Rabbi Yehuda Ben Tema. And our Mishnah is all Hilchot HaPsikta. It's all Halachot Psukot. And therefore, indeed, the halacha is that that in such a case, the Tanai is ignored and the commitment is kept. Okay, we'll pause at this point. Mir Tzashon pick up in the next podcast as we have finished Perak Shvi'i, Asochar Tapoalim. We'll begin tomorrow in the next podcast with Hashoel et HaParah. Everybody should have a wonderful day.